B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Again, game four, clinching game four tonight for the Bruins in Carolina. Right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, shortly after 8 o'clock, they drop the puck. Pregame at 7:30. If you're watching on TV, Amante and I on NBC Sports Boston. Flip on over for that postgame coverage. Back to your phones, as promised. Hank in Worcester, is this a great Bruins team?
Michael, before I get to the Bruins, you guys are so right. These non-calls, they're making my head hurt. You know, I thought the hockey gods were looking down on the Bruins this year because, you know, the NHL just parted like the Red Sea. But San Jose, watching these guys, they're walking on the water. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Every night.
Yeah, really. Anyways, the team, that was the question you said. Is it a better team this year than, you know, the 80s? And I even go back to the 70s. I was born in 70. And, you know,
so the 70s don't count, Hank. The early 70s Bruins are the best. Forget about it.
Yeah. All right. We're not going to count those. But, you know, as far as the team, you got to look at the longevity and you got to look at the core players. And you know, we're looking at a team that's going to three finals and possibly winning two. You know, so I have to agree with this. This is the team. And before you let me go, Mike, on Wick, I think he was doing the right thing because he's as much a fan as we are. And he just knows how bad Kyrie sucked. I mean, he's looking at the return he got. Three quarters of a season and then hurt during the playoffs.
No, that was – yeah, I'm just going to cut you off. Your phone's mediocre. That was Wick's version of pissed. He didn't get pissed at his team. He lost.
I mean, he said at one point it was a hard team to love.
That's a lot for him to say.
I mean, that's like a parent calling their own child ugly.
No. He goes to bed in his green footy pajamas every night holding, you know, posters of Wet Auerbach in his bosom. So for him to say he didn't love the team is, for him, that was a blast.
I mean, really, like, you know, to me, that is an acknowledgement that what you felt as a fan this year was fair. You know, the owner knows. He knows what the perception was on the outside, and he didn't disagree with you.
One of the hardest teams to love.
Okay. Again, for him, that's a lot. Mike and Woburn, your thoughts.
Hey, first, Pennsylvania lottery scandal of 1980, rigged ping pong ball machine. Go look it up. There's your Reynolds rap moment.
Okay, but hold on. Is it like the current modern ping pong ball machines, Mike? Those things now are pretty, you know, pretty advanced.
Right. Uh-huh. And I'm sure there are current modern advanced ways to rig a ping pong ball machine.
Okay? No, yeah, because he knows that the modern machines are, you know, high tech.
Exactly. I'm sorry, I forgot I was talking to Mr. Wizard here in terms of engineering.
Right. Don't forget the larva talk.
Mike Felger with the master's degree from RPI. Listen, first of all, the league, remember when Sean Avery waved his stick in front of Marty Brodeur?
Yes.
Okay, they changed the rule the next morning.
They sure did.
They changed the rule the next morning. You have playoff games being blown. The San Jose Sharks have gotten more referees fired this offseason than the Mafia, okay? Two crews are out of jobs because of the San Jose Sharks.
So hold on. So the 5-minute major crew got bounced too?
They got gas too. Absolutely.
Wow.
They're done as well.
Wow.
So reffing Sharks games right now is like skating through a minefield.
No, okay? It's like swimming with Sharks.
Yeah, right. Well, if you were swimming with San Jose Sharks, you'd never get bit. If Jaws, they're chokers. This is why they're surviving. If Jaws was a San Jose Shark, he would have choked to death on Alex Kittner's raft.
I'll just leave you with that one.
Seriously, though, I didn't realize that the other crew got tossed, too.
Me neither.
I mean, it is. It's a joke. It's a joke. And the fact that they've all happened in San Jose games, I'm not telling you I think there's a conspiracy. I'm telling you that the Sharks right now are one of the luckiest teams of all time because their goaltending has sucked. in these playoffs, if you ask me. In fact, I thought last night they were both shaky.
Okay, so I've got a whole thing on the goaltending. We'll get to it when the final is set. But if the Sharks win this year at all, win the Cup, they will have done it with historically bad goaltending.
I mean, really, now Jones made some big stops in that third period last night, right? It was late.
Yes.
I saw the highlights. I didn't see the whole game. So, you know, but it looked to me like a lot of these goals, oh, man, some of these goals are soft.
I mean, I don't think he sucks. Again, he got to the finals 3 years ago, whatever that was. So he doesn't blow, but his number. So this is just this is a stat nerd thing. 538, Mike Silver's site there, did a thing about goaltending. And do you know that the Sharks were dead last in the regular season in save percentage as a team? And no team has ever won a cup being dead last in the regular season in save percentage. They draw this comparison that generally the teams that goaltend well in the regular season, it translates to the playoffs. And obviously save percentage is one of the most important stats in terms of winning cups. And so if San Jose does it, it'll be the first team ever to win a cup with the dead last save percentage. That never even happened during the original six era when there were even just six teams. And you
Amazing.
Think of one of them. No, it's never happened. So, and if you just look at it right now, Martin Jones, this is interesting. Martin Jones, of the 17 goalies who have played in the NHL playoffs this year, 17. Martin Jones ranks 15th with a .903 save percentage, and Binnington in St. Louis ranks .904. The only two lower, Mazarek, of course, and Vasilevsky had a hell of a time in his four games.
He had a brutal series.
He had an .856 save percentage. But, you know, Binnington saved St. Louis' season. He's like rookie of the year, like MVP candidate.
He's the reason they're there.
They were in last place when he took over. So it's like, you know, get on that guy. I'm just telling you statistically, the stat nerds would put these into their computer and say, you can't win with the 14th and 15th highest save percentage in the playoffs. It just doesn't compute.
Yeah, we know what the NBA would do with those numbers in their computer. We're crying out loud. Like, you know, there's a way around everything.
And of course, you've got the number one. If you take out Curtis McElhinney, who actually has a higher save percentage than Tuukka Rask, you have the highest save percentage left in the playoffs. So, you know, if it's just about goaltending, you're in. We got Dave in Virginia on the Sharks thing. Go ahead, Dave.
And real quick, speaking of save percentage, I did not know this. It blew my mind, but Rask in Eastern games and Stanley Cup finals is a save percent of .950, which it's astronomically high, and it blew my mind. Now, on the replays, they need to either call everything or call nothing.
Yep.
Because it's absolutely ridiculous that, like you said, you can't review something that was out of play or, you know, something that's a hand pass, but you can review something 7 minutes ago because it was offside.
Dave, I've said this for years and years and years, and Murray's even tightened it up into a better little slogan. What's your slogan again?
Common sense for crucial plays.
Right.
That's all that replay should be.
Clear, obvious plays that impact the outcome of a game. I've been saying this for years, and it either has to be everything or nothing. And if it's everything, I don't even want to see a rule. You don't even need a rule book. We're going to look at this or look at that. We're going to look at this if it does that. We're going to do this if it... No. Nope. 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 You hire one replay official and you put him in charge and you say only clear and obvious mistakes that will impact the outcome of the game, and it's up to you. So the thing last night, that's one look, boom, it's changed.
Common sense for a crucial play.
And it's up to one guy, and if the guy sucks, you fire him and you bring in the next guy. And that's all that you do. And you don't come up with all these cockamamie rules and exceptions, and we look at it this or that. Nope. The guy is going to stand up there, and he's going to see if it's a close game and a big play, and if this is going to matter, and if it's obvious, I'm going to change it. And if not, we're just going to keep playing. And that's how my replay would work. But they'll never do that. Never do that. Because, again, we're all now circumcising the mosquito, unless it's an obvious hand pass in overtime of a Stanley Cup conference final. Then we're just going to let that one go.
I mean, this really is embarrassing for the NHL. I can't remember a league having a postseason this bad. In terms of calls.
You're right, there's been a bunch.
I mean, this has been brutal.
Rocco and Saugus with an NBA thought. Hi, Rocco. I hope Rocco didn't just slap somebody. That's what that sounded like.
My girl, I'm sorry. I got to call you back, guys. Sorry.
Okay, call us back. No problem.
That didn't sound
good. No, that didn't sound good at all.
Sounded like a DV in process is what that was, a domestic violence incident or something.
No, that's not Rocco. Rocco did want to beat me up once at Hockey Town. Mm-hmm. That I do know, but that's not Rocco.
Then he calmed down.
But that whole thing, it's just sights and sounds from Saugus. It's just, here's Sully in Weymouth. Hi, Sully.
Hey, what's going on? You guys were talking earlier about fighting stats, so I wanted to pull some up for you. And fights since 2011 up until now are down from seeing a fight every other game to seeing a fight one in every five games.
Blah.
It's right around like, it was right around like 750, something like that. That down to 238 this year. And the thing that kind of hurt me the most was seeing that there were more fights in 2013 in the lockout year than there were this year in a full season with an extra team.
48 game schedule. I hate it. I mean, I don't spend time bemoaning it. It is what it is. It is what it is. They all got to wear those stupid shields. You know, the doctors have taken, it's concussions. I know. It's the right thing. Yeah, I get it. Except they're consenting adults. You're allowed to go smoke that cigarette if you want. If these two guys want to go bash their brains in, why can't they go bash their brains in? We let these guys box. Did you hear the Deontay Wilder comment?
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
We should play that in the final word. Our guy had a doozy. But they're consenting adults. They sign waivers. And so go ahead. Try and kill each other.
He's fighting Saturday night, right?
As he said, it's the only place you can kill a man and it's legal. So why not go try and do it? That's what he said. Good line. So like that's why I don't get it with hockey fights. They have them all sign a waiver. You consent. You're consenting adults. You want to go bash each other's brains in? Go bash each other's brains in. Why can't we have a world like that? I mean, we let these guys race cars, box, jump out of airplanes, you know, do all these things. Why can't you just let them fight if they want to fight?
Oh, I think you probably could if they sign a waiver.
Put a waiver in front of them, let them fight. But this is, again, I said I don't spend time thinking about this. Maybe I do. The stat that says it all is that the Bruins led the league in fighting when they won the Cup in 2011. They had 71.
Yeah, Murray said they were actually second.
Second in the league with 71. This year, they're first in the league with 26. That's all you need to know. Here's a word from our sponsors. I'm right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's non-reviewable. The referees, once they say it's a goal, they can't change their minds because they didn't see it. And unfortunately, that's a terrible call, and St. Louis, got hosed right there.
That is a tough, tough call, and that's what will be changed, I believe, Barry. There's all this talk about the eye in the sky. You know what it comes down to for me? It's the same way the NFL is adjusted. What's a catch and what's not a catch? Yep. If 100 screaming people with no audio, drunk in a bar, watch the TV and all say that's got to be a catch, that's the same thing. Everybody can see that's a hand pass. That can't be a goal. But because the NHL can't review that or replay that, that stands and that's a mistake.
I like the smell test. Make the right call. At the end of the day, have the right call decided.
But you have to have the tools in place.
You have to have the rules. You have to have the rules. This was a hand pass.
I don't know if you totally need the rules. Just get on the headset, talk it out, come up with something, get it right. You could also just do that. Eric and Newton, your thoughts.
All of the other major sports leagues, baseball, football, basketball, when there's a controversial call in the playoffs, they put on the headsets. You think we're going to see an overhaul of instant replay protocol in the National Hockey League in the offseason? I'll hang up.
Yes, they're going to make everything reviewable. They're going to make all that stuff reviewable, which, you know, review every goal. Review every goal for anything. High sticks, hand passes, did it go over the netting, etc. I don't think it's going to take, you know, I think 90% of goals, there's nothing to look at. So I just don't think it's going to be that onerous, but that's probably what's going to come. And it's going to be, it's going to be kind of a pain in the ass. I still like the idea of challenges versus non-challenges, But what I like more than anything else is just common sense. And that's what replay has lacked for a long, 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 long time.
I mean, that thing last night, again, you're talking about two calls that are, two in particular, that are so bad, it's not even like worth debating whether they should be reviewed.
And the two you're talking about.
The one that hit the net in the Bruins-Columbus game. Yep. Like, how does that goal, how is that goal allowed? And then this one. Like, you know, the five-minute major that happened in Game 7 of the Vegas-San Jose game, there's a judgment call there, right? Now, I think they got it wrong, but at least they have to decide.
No. That's not a black or white thing.
This was the puck goes out of play, and the guy batted it with his hand. Like, there's no gray area there.
None.
Those goals should not have been allowed.
Jim and Winthrop, is this team better or worse than the team in 2011 and 13?
Well, I think it's not as good as the 2011 team, but it's better than 2013. And the reason is depth. You know, you talked about the D. Chara, obviously, his version of 2013 is better than Chara 2019. But Torey Krug is better than in 2019 than he was in 2013.
Okay, he's better than himself, but he was a third-pairing guy in 2013.
Right.
2013, your second pair was Ferentz and Boychuk. I like that second pair.
Me too.
That's pretty good. But 13 is like 13 should have been better, but Sagan fell off. Sagan totally fell off, and Jágr started getting all that time. There was a little too much Jágr out there. And so I see what he's saying, and was Krejci quite the same in 2013 that he was in 11?
Like, yeah, I think he had another good postseason.
I think he led the postseason in scoring. So as soon as I say that, I want to take it back. I think he was, again, the postseason points leader in 2013, just like he was in 11.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that 11-13 team, Krejci's a big difference where, you know, in that time, and I used to debate it, that Krejci might have been better than Bergeron. He was certainly a better offensive player in that time, 2011-13. So your first two centers were Krejci-Bergeron, and they were close to each other in terms of overall value. So you had a 1-2 punch like you read about. Now Krejci's fallen, you know, I think Bergeron separated himself. And so you've, you know, Krejci's not quite the same guy that he was back then. Bergeron might be better than he was back then. He's certainly more offensive.
In fact, Krejci was even better in 2013. He had 26 points in 22 games. He was a plus 13. In 2011, he was 23 points in 25 games. He was a plus 8. I mean, he was awesome back then.
I would still say he's never played with really good players. I think Lucic was a hack, a lovable physical hack who had a little bit, you know, who produced. And Horton was good, but, you know, I don't know. I still wouldn't say that you ever put Krejci with a really skilled player.
No, look at
he never played with someone as good as Brad Marchand. I'll put it to you like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's even close. Right? Really?
Yeah, no, I mean, he never played with the Pastrnak or a Marchand.
I mean, Marchand's had, 3 years in a row with 35 goals?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Krejci's never had anything close to that.
We've got Andrew and Dover on this topic. Go ahead, Andrew.
Bruins definitely are way better, I think, than they were in 2013. And then I think it's a hot take, but I think they're better than 2011. And one of the simple things is their power play unit. You look at their power play production, when they're on, it's a scary team to be playing against. And it's a powerful weapon that can bring them out of holes, and it has done so this playoffs.
So
I think that just their special teams, like they're playing just as good 5-on-5 hockey as they did 2011. In 2011, I would rather have the Bruins playing 5-on-5 than I would a power play. Their power play was like horrendous.
Well, that's fair, Andrew. They're, you know, this Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak is the best offensive line of any of these teams.
Yeah,
you know, obviously, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak is. Oates, Neely, you know, that was part of the problem. They never had the third guy because they wouldn't pay for him. Like, that, it's that kind of line. It is.
See, I hold the power play thing against this team. Like, I think 5-on-5 is sort of the game at its pure form.
Yeah, no, I get it. But they call penalties now in the playoffs.
Well, I know they do. Yeah, and look, in all honesty, I also think that that 2011 team had the talent to be better on the power play than it was, and they were coached poorly because all they did was fire it from the point. If they had the Bruce Cassidy philosophy with that group, they'd have scored more.
Probably so. Jay and Shirley on NHL Replay. Yes, Jay.
Hey, what's up? It's not just NHL, but just replay in general. You're absolutely right. It's more of a problem than it helps. You know, going back to the goal that went off the net, last series or whatever, the one last night, NFL, that NFC championship game, it's a problem. To the point where, like, I agree with you so much, and I know if there's something you want to do, but if one of you, I don't care, I'd say Mike because it's your take, the hashtag replay doesn't work, but if one of you wants to learn how to tattoo between now and Christmas in the city, I swear to you, like, put me back on hold, take my information, I will commit right now. I'll put $100 down, I'll donate it, and I'll come in to the studio or whatever you want to do. I will let you actually tattoo hashtag replay doesn't work okay. on my body somewhere.
On your body. All right. I'm actually in on that, Jay. I'm saying that's not going to be my first tattoo.
I can point them towards a reputable shop we can go to and we can pony up or whatever. It's for a good cause.
I'm not hashtagging me. I'm not tattooing me. That's not my first tattoo. What's your first tattoo, Miz?
Oh, God, I couldn't even think of it. I'd have to. It won't be my first, though. I mean, I could come up with something really perverse if you wanted me
so
to.
So, wait, you have one right now?
No.
No, so no. So, when you say, wouldn't it be your first?
No, that wouldn't be my first.
I see. Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah. Hashtag replay doesn't work or whatever the hell you said. Like, I'm doing something better than that. I mean, mine would say something like, do me. And I put it right on my butt cheek. Do the do on the left cheek and the me on the right.
I didn't know you swung from that side of the plate there, Maz. But
well, right. You know, I'm just... That's a fair point, Mo.
That is.
You I didn't really thought about well, it in those terms.
No, well, but you just did. Here's an update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mads, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
10 seconds left. Hamilton, fans out at the neutral zone. 5. Out at center ice, Corrali. Couldn't get much on the wrister. Out at center ice it comes. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference final. They come into Carolina, win a 2-1 over the Hurricanes. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series. They've won 6 consecutive games in the playoffs for the first time since 1978. And for the first time all year, Carolina has dropped a playoff game on home ice.
Game 4 tonight, 98.5 The Sports Hub again. Shortly after 8, they drop the puck. Pre-game 7:30, you're watching on TV. Me and Amonte, NBC Sports Boston. Flip on over for that. They win tonight, they get the Prince of Wales trophy. To touch or not to touch?
I have it up.
Okay. Excuse me?
I mean the story.
I asked Maz, we got sent a story that has chronicled the success and or failure of teams for touching or not touching. Did you know, folks? And there's no way you know this. And if you do, I'd be really impressed. Since 2004, meaning the NHL lockout, since they lost the season to the lockout, the Campbell Trophy, the Western Conference Campbell Conference Trophy, has never been touched. No Western Conference team has touched that trophy. In the East, Crosby likes to touch it. The Penguins fondle that thing. And I feel like they've had pretty fair success.
Yeah. 2-1.
Okay, they're 2-1 when touching it.
Correct.
What else can you tell me about, again, this is the Wales, the Prince of Wales trophy. What is the success and or failure rate of teams touching, not touching?
So it's all over the map. The Bruins are 1-1. You know, they didn't touch it both times.
No touchy.
Right, but they won one and lost one.
Right.
So with the Bruins, I would say it's unclear as to what the result is. It feels like, though, that the teams that don't touch it in the East generally lose.
For example, can you give me...
So, like, I can tell you that in the East, the teams that don't touch it go 3-7. The teams that do are 4-5. But Pittsburgh was 2 of those, right? So, Pittsburgh was a wagon.
Who else touched it and won?
You're going to have to give me a second on that. It's a different chart. This thing is so confusing. My head was really spinning. I mean, it was unbelievable for crying out loud.
I can't just get a hard number. We're 11-17 when not touching the thing. Can I just get a number? I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the story.
No, I understand. I understand. I'm trying to go through the whole East. So who else won? Pittsburgh, Boston.
Did Washington touch last year?
This ends in 2016.
Oh, my God.
The story Jimmy said is actually from May of 2017.
Oh, good God. Good grief. It's 2 years old. Did the Capitals touch last year? Donnie and Swampscott, can you add anything to this conversation?
The Capitals touched it last year.
They
Ovechkin
did.
He hoisted that thing up.
Okay. Ovechkin touched. Very good. Keep going.
Bruins absolutely need to touch it. The data says that they need to touch it. Last three cup winners in the Eastern Conference touched it.
Is that right, Donnie?
So we're on a roll.
Oh, then they got
to touch. Yeah, so we've got the Penguins twice, 2016, 2017. We've got the Capitals 2018. Last team to win it and touch it were the Bruins in 2011.
Okay, and win it and not touch it.
Right.
Win it and not touch it.
See, but I would say this is a dangerous area to venture into, because do you really want to compare yourself to the Sidney Crosby Penguins or to the Ovechkin Capitals?
Yes, we're purely dealing with touch, no touch.
Ovechkin was skating around with it last year. I'm watching the video of it now.
Yeah, he always liked them dirty.
Shove it down his pants for all I care. So you don't touch. Char makes the call. The captain, he's been around for all of them. He's obviously a no-touch kind of guy. Char might be out tonight. Do we have any word on that?
Still waiting to see any kind of update from down in Raleigh, but nothing.
Okay, that's a Felger and Maz rumble, not a Felger and Maz report. Just a rumble.
Just a rumble.
May have a groin/hip kind of thing, which is close him out tonight. Let the big fellow rest for 11 days. I think that's important. But if it's still up to him, he's still there. I think I go no-touchy.
I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole.
Here's Eric in Gloucester on the Bruins this year compared to the cup winner. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, how you doing? First time, long time. Question. When the game the other night, when Doc was comparing the fourth line, how they're getting a lot of ice time and whatnot, and there's mention that Sean Thornton would have been a great fit on that line.
No, he wouldn't have.
Now, so the question for you would be, who had the better fourth line, the 2011 team or this year's fourth line?
So I meant to do that earlier, too.
That's a toughie.
That's a tough one, because that really is for the times. In 2011, you could still fight. You had 70 fighting majors. You were second in the league. That was a part of your game. So Campbell and Thornton for sure. Thornton for sure, obviously, could throw. Paille not so much, but you know that's what that line brought. This one, and it hasn't been again in the playoffs, is sort of what's odd. But if you're asking me, Corrali, Wagner, Achari, it was more impactful than that fourth line.
I mean, Corrali scored big goals. The second he came back, that whole thing changed.
I agree.
Like, it feels to me like in terms of the actual hockey.
Look, I believe me, and I may have been wrong about it at the time. You helped turn that series against Vancouver when Thornton activated and drew into the lineup, I think, in game three and started menacing and started chirping Luongo and started just being there. That was a huge turning point in the series.
I mean, remember, didn't he shoot a puck down their end of the ice or something?
Yes, he did. I can't remember all that he did, but he started doing his thing.
But in terms of the actual hockey, these guys are better.
I agree.
Corrali's been really good. I think Wagner, the sad part about that injury, he was really starting to play well. Those last three games, he's been really good.
Kevin in the truck on Sharks Blues, your thoughts?
So before I get to that, I told you 2 months ago we should have traded Scary Terry for a blue Gatorade. Gatorade tastes pretty good now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the right call. I think a lot of people felt that, Kevin.
But I have a problem with the officials. We have officials that are standing at mid-ice and beyond the blue line that are raising their hands for calls, but we got officials 10 feet away that can't see a puck hit the net or see a guy make a hand pass. Can we get some sort of consistency? That's all I want.
Okay, but I'm sort of the opposite, Kevin. The guy standing in front of the play who should have made the play obviously couldn't see it. He was shielded from the goal. He was shielded by the goalie, or he had to look through the net or something. I mean, I don't think the guy's crooked. I don't think he was fixing the game. I don't. So I think if he saw it, he would have called it. He didn't see it. But you then have another ref, and then you have two linesmen who are allowed to weigh in as well. What are they looking at?
Good question.
What are they looking at? So the second ref, is his job to look away from the puck? Is that like really – are there assignments? The ref that's sort of low in the zone has to follow the puck, and the ref that's high in the zone has to look away. I mean, maybe that's the way it works.
That would make sense.
Because you have assignments, and so maybe that's it. Fine. Then what are the two linesmen doing? Shouldn't they just follow the play just to have another set of eyes on it in case something's missed?
Sure.
And then don't you get together, and one of them says, Frank, it was a hand pass.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up on the rumbling that we've heard about Zdeno Chara. The camera guys, NBC Sports Boston, you know, popular follow on Twitter. They just put up a video about 20 minutes ago. It says, the first NHL Bruins bus has David Backes and Patrice Bergeron leading the way into the arena down there in Raleigh. Normally, Zdeno Chara is with this crew, but not today.
Okay, so.
Rumbles.
I don't know. I mean,
this one's more than a gas bubble, feels like.
I mean, I don't know how concerned to be. You should beat this team without Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, my guess is that.
And is
that,
it so bad that he's not going to play in 11 days? And, you know, was he held out? So he missed practice yesterday, you said, Murray?
Correct, yeah, and there was no skate today.
I'm just looking up the game sheet from the other night. He played a full load the other night. He was, you know, I'm just trying to remember. Was he on the ice at the end of the game? I think he was. So how bad could it be? How bad could it be? Anyway, Chara might be out. There you go. There's your rumble. More rumblings. Paul in the car on replay. Yes, Paul.
Imagine if this was Montreal that got screwed last night.
Oh, please.
Holy hell. It would have been a 5-on-3. The goal would have been called back, and the referees would have got the Dino Bravo treatment by the end of the night.
No, they would have called the cops. Parliament would be involved.
Dino Bravo is a mobster reference. Dino Bravo was a wrestler who got killed in his home by the mob, allegedly.
I just let that go.
Oh, all right.
That's why I was explaining it to the listener.
Okay. Jokes and allusions on your own time.
Yeah, they would have called the Crown.
They would have called Parliament.
Yeah.
They would have convened a special commission, of Parliament.
Oh, those people would have lost their mind. There's no two ways about it. But these calls are worthy of losing your mind over. That I'll say.
Mike in Foxborough, your thoughts on it.
Mike, why is the NHL trying to come up with different ways or scenarios to review plays when all they have to do is give the teams one replay challenge? And in the case of the Bruins, when they hit that netting, if they had managed to clear the puck out of the zone, that play is no longer reviewable. And if you win your challenge, you get another one, because why should you get screwed twice in one game?
I mean,
to overtime and you get another challenge.
Hey, Mike, I mean, not unreasonable. You've just given me too many ifs. Take out all the ifs. Take out the thing. You have one guy, you have a lead replay official, and he is charged with changing only egregious plays in important situations. And the rest is up to him. And you hopefully can find however many you need, a dozen, two dozen, qualified, level-headed people who also understand we don't have all night, and we're not here to look at centimeters on the blue line in November in meaningless games or in 6-2 blowouts in the third period. That's not what we're here for. So you have to have the second most important thing is pace of play, not looking at all these little things, doing just what's important so we can get out of here in a timely fashion. But the first thing is getting it right in important situations, and that's it. And leave all the rest up to the guy upstairs. And if there's three of them a game, then there's going to have to be three of them a game. But they have to be as obvious as the thing last night or hitting the net in Columbus. That's what you're there to reverse. The interference in New Orleans in the NFC Championship game. That's it. Anything short of that? The goalie interference the other night with Jake DeBrusk at the top of the crease? Don't even look at that. Too close. Judgment call. Move on. That does not get reviewed. The obvious, obvious ones that take one replay to look at. That's the ones. But again, never happen. That will never happen. Nick in Middleborough. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? So as far as comparison for the 2011 team till now, I think it's an unfair comparison, really. That team back then was built to contend and to compete. The team we have this year, they simply shouldn't be where they are right now. And had Tampa, had Washington made it a little further than they did and didn't quite have the upsets that we did, I don't think that we'd be here. With that being said, I think if we play San Jose, we're going to see the young team that we would have expected to see had those teams stuck around a little bit longer I don't think we're going to get very far with San Jose should they make it.
It's a tough matchup, especially since they're getting every single call in the book. But I would agree. I'm not even sure this is the best team in the league. I think in 2011, you know, Vancouver was, but when it came to a head-to-head and came to all the different intangibles of toughness and the goaltending and everything, it turned out you were. I think you were legitimately the best team in the league in 11. This year, you know, I know.
They're not.
I know. I mean, I just don't think you are.
They're not. I mean, again, and it sounds like a rip on them, and it's not. In fact, you could just easily take it as a great compliment. To win a championship and not be the best team in the league is a neat trick.
Well, but
that's hard to do.
It's not their fault. you know, they didn't have a chance to prove it against Tampa.
Right. You play the hand you're dealt. I mean, if the road is the road, that's a reflection on the other teams. So I'll tell you this
again. No one's going to care when you see that banner go up.
Right, exactly right. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you, I like this team a lot. This Bruins team has been likable now for a couple of years especially. They play hard. They get the most out of their ability. And what he said about, you know, they're going to go against a San Jose team, I'm not telling you I'm picking anybody. I'm just, the Bruins have gone against two young teams now in the last two rounds, and they're savvy and their understanding of when to dig in.
Maz, the last three, Toronto still doesn't know how to win.
Oh, so that's another one. I didn't even factor that in. Like, their intangible is very high. So they got a lot of guys on that team that have an intangible. Like, I wouldn't dismiss them based on that quality going against San Jose. I think that's a mistake.
Okay, we have the final word coming your way right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So a message for the Bruins tonight, if they are to complete the sweep of the Carolina Hurricanes, don't touch the Wales Trophy.
Don't touch it. We had an epic conversation back in 2011. This is like a bastard child of trophies.
Exactly. That's why I want nothing to do with that. I want the real thing, man.
It's like the redheaded stepchild. It's been passed along for award to award, family to family. What kind of crap is that?
It's a slut.
It is. The Prince of Wales Trophy is a slut.
It's been sleeping around.
It's been awarded for 8 different accomplishments. It's been given to the East Division season champions.
How many times has that thing been knocked up?
The Wales Conference regular season champions. I'll take this trophy first. JJ wants it.
Well, you don't have a choice.
That trophy is much smaller when you see it in a picture with somebody.
Really?
Yes, it's not that big.
Usually width is what matters. But either way,
girth. Girth. Oh, it's all about girth.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Girth. It's girth.
Oh. It depends on how big
circumference.
Your feet are.
I have neither, so it's just what I've read about.
I could tell.
My advice is don't get anywhere near that thing. What is so prestigious about this stupid trophy?
That slut will pick your pocket, man. Stay away from her. Class slut. It's got one night stand written all over it. And you know what? I wouldn't even do that with it.
This trophy is low-grade garbage.
You have body parts start falling off. You sleep with that thing.
Sorry, JJ.
Great experience.
And you know what? It's not even that big. It's not even a big one. There's nothing you want there.
They should get you to disinfect that thing.
I would rub that sucker down like you read about.
You'd have to.
Right. Give me some hand wipes. That was 2011.
Different time in radio. Now, if you were to do that live, I'm sure you'd get accused of slut-shaming. How dare you?
With Wiggy. And Beetle.
Wiggy.
A young Beetle, yeah.
Was that trophy shaming.
Were you there, Stu?
I was there.
Okay, there you go.
Wiggy.
I was here for the Bruins Cup run.
Depends how big your feet are. What the hell does that mean?
I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, all right.
You never heard that saying? Big feet.
No, I'm surprised Maz
big
has
shoes.
It. Yeah, big heart. Yeah.
You wanted to hear this. You mentioned this earlier. Deontay Wilder, friend of the show. Sort of.
Listen to this cut.
This was him promoting his upcoming bout by talking about his opponent's death in the ring.
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't go seek him. He seek me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does in a way. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
That's the best.
He's a peach.
What's that last piece again? It's the only place in the world you can kill a man with your
and
own
do your hand. Job or something?
No, and get paid for it.
Oh, get paid for it.
So why not take advantage of the rights I've been given? Is that what he says?
Right, yeah. To do, like my that. Right to do so.
I got to see. I got to hear that end part again, please.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Keep it up, Murray.
You don't have to. Never mind. You don't have to.
Hold on. I can't do it.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it won't fire.
Yep.
Mass, we have come up with the baseball reporters.
So a walk-off win for the Red Sox last night, which is a reason to celebrate, I think. I think.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they were up 5-0. Should you really have to walk off a game like that?
Is it a win?
So it's a win. It's a win. So here's what we're going to do.
It's nice that you conceded that point.
Michael Chavis was a star player last night, so we'll talk about him. Might not be all positive. Yeah, Mass, how are you going to turn Michael Chavis into a negative topic? I want to hear that. Okay, tune in. The bullpen, the wheel of gutless bums, we're going to spin that sucker again. And also, we're going to look ahead to what's coming up for the Red Sox. They're off tonight, but very important stretch of their schedule coming up tonight. And I actually did a little research on how their performance against elite teams in the league translates into October success. So we'll touch on that too.
All right. We got a lot on the table here on the Baseball Reporters. 90 seconds, no commercials. Then you get Maz. Remember, Bruins tonight here on the air. We're back tomorrow to talk about it. Don't touch the trophy. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.